backward, don't be bashful, don't be shy. Come on ahead. Praise God. We're in the house of the Lord to worship the Lord together and to encourage one another. So the Lord bless you.
Okay, I'm up here with no papers or nothing. This is straight from the heart. It's just part of my testimony, part of my life. And it's very important that I can share a testimony and I give God all the glory. Very blessed to be brought up in a house where we put God first. And a Sunday was the Sabbath in our home. And I'm very grateful for my parents for doing that for me. Really appreciate it. And it was a house of prayer too. Because many at the time we had brokenness in our families, and there was accidents, and kids were in hospital, and there was death doors. I had a brother when I was dying who was at death door. And we learned to pray, and we learned to be on our knees, and learned to be much in prayer, and we were calling all to pray. Today he's married, he's four lovely children, and lots of grandchildren, so we give God all the glory for that. We call him the miracle brother. And you know, we're all miracles. I'm one of seven of a family, and that I'm very grateful for. My mum at 15 was pregnant, and my mum had a difficult time. She had to hand her baby over at 15, at 16, she had the child at 16. And it's only about a year ago that I got to meet my sister, my half-sister. But she is a sister in the Lord, and that I'm grateful for. And she is beautiful. And she's had a really good life, and she's very grateful for my mum not having an abortion. Not, you know, it was no choice of my mummy's to hand that baby over. But she's a lovely girl, June. Hopefully someday you'll all meet her. She lives in Texas. She's married to a Texas guy, so I'm very blessed. I'll have to visit Texas someday. But it was lovely to have her home at the farm. There, a couple of years ago, she came to visit us. It was our first time meeting her, and we were really thrilled, absolutely thrilled. And just to see Mummy's face, and Mummy was showing her all her family, and Mummy was so proud to show her six children, because my mum was very proud of each one of us. She always says, I reared six children, and boy, did she rear us well. We were fed with the best food. We came home from school, you'd have smelt the bread coming down the road, fresh bread. Mum and Dad was in the garden every day we go from school. There was fresh spuds, there was lettuce, the fridge was full of beetroot. It just was amazing. Mum was a great cook, and she made all our potato bread, soda bread, wheaten bread, you name it. And the dinners were amazing. So I really had a very blessed childhood. It was a home full of love, joy and laughter. And when things did happen, and everybody's back was against the wall, you definitely knew how to pray, and you knew till we were always encouraged. You went to church on a Sunday. Even if you'd been out on a Saturday night, you were maybe late home, you were up for church on a Sunday morning. There was no lying in our house. And my dad went down the stairs, and he made lots of noise as he went down the stairs, so everybody was woke, and there was no lying in bed. So you got out of your bedroom on a Sunday morning, you got up, had your fry. Mummy always had a big Ulster fry on a Sunday morning. It was amazing. And if you slept in too long, well then there's little left the time you get down. So everybody made sure we're down nice and sharp. And there was eight of us sitting around the table. So that was lovely. It was a lovely family time. We always did learn to sit around the table as a family. And I really thank Mummy for that, because these days we've lost that. Nobody wants to sit around the table now. They all want to go to their room with their plate and their dinner. Or they're on their AirPods and earpods, and they don't hear you. And you have to actually ring them to say dinner's ready, you know, and they all live in the same house. But unfortunately, that's the way it's went. We've just got so modern now, and everybody's got gadgets, and they don't hear you, and they don't see you. But anyway, I just give God all the glory, and that's simply what I'm doing for what he's done in my life and our family. And he's really answered a lot of prayers. Like, it just unfolds all the time, and I've just so much testimony. And I would be here all day to tell you testimonies, because I'm just full of it. When I was 15, my neighbour got shot. That had a big impact on our whole community. And I'm sure Billy Heenan rings a bell to a lot of you. Probably knew Billy Heenan. So Billy was shot down. It really had a big impact on our lives. I was only 15, going through school, going through exams. I was always a very happy person. But I don't know, there was a light switch moment when he was shot. I really took it so bad, and it really affected my mental health. And I couldn't sleep or anything. It was really awful.
My parents didn't know what to do. I was really bad. I know it was just attacking the enemy. It was Satan, like. But thank God I got into hospital and I got the right care and attention that I needed. And I remember Mom and Dad saying to me, what would you like us to bring you into hospital? I says, Mom or Dad, just bring me into the Bible. So I was in a psychiatric hospital for quite a while. I was able to read my Bible. I was, you know, just gathering myself and trying to get myself well. And I really was, I didn't know what was wrong with me. At 15, you don't know what's wrong with you, but mental health's a big thing when you have a nervous breakdown at that age. Let's face it, my family didn't know what was happening. My GP didn't know what was happening in our family. But I just know it's all down to Billy's death. It just had a big impact on my life. And I just give God all the glory that I got better. They diagnosed me with bipolar. If anybody doesn't know what that is, it's just somebody who gets mood swings. It's all chemical imbalance. It can happen to anyone, and you know, it's just something to put it down to, and it's all to do with your mood. So I was on medication for quite a while with that, and thank God, you know, I was able to come off it. 3 years before I had Samuel, I was all clean. I was on no medication. I wasn't smoking, I wasn't drinking. And 3 years later, then I had Samuel, and another 3 years, then I had Aaron. So, you know, I'm just very grateful. I haven't been on medication now. So what's that? Samuel's coming 19 now on Wednesday. So 3 years, 20, 21, 22, 22 years drug-free, no medication. So I give God all the glory for that. So I just wanted to share that with you. I must say, I've got lots of testimonies, but that's just some of them. And maybe someday I'll write a book and put them all in there. But I do give God all the glory. And I'm so blessed when Mom at 90 was able to meet her daughter that you had a hand over. Like, that had been painful. And it's just such an answer to prayer. And Mummy is delighted. And it wasn't her, like, you know, I mean, 15. That's just the way life happens. But nothing to be ashamed of. No fears, no doubts. Give God all the glory and just keep living for the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I would like to sing for the Lord this morning. Jesus, you are a wonderful King. We exalt your holy name. Lord Jesus, you are a wonderful King. We exalt your holy name. Lord Jesus, you are a wonderful King. We exalt your holy name. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are faithful, Lord. We exalt your holy name. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are faithful, Lord. We exalt your holy name. Lord Jesus, you are a wonderful King. We exalt your holy name. Lord Jesus, you are a wonderful King. We exalt your holy name. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are faithful, Lord. We exalt your holy name. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are faithful, Lord. We exalt your holy name. Sing Hosanna, Hosanna, you are faithful, Lord. We exalt your holy name. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are faithful, Lord. We exalt your holy name. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are faithful, Lord. We exalt your holy name. Every knee bow before you, every tongue shall confess Jesus. Jesus, we worship you, O Lord our God. Every knee bow before you, every tongue shall confess that Jesus, Jesus, we worship you, O Lord our God.
That was lovely. God is faithful, and he is our Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he's worthy to be praised. I'm sorry for getting emotional. Probably the worst speaker in here. But hopefully I'll be able to say something this morning to maybe encourage someone. You know, the Lord's good, and it's great to be here this morning in this house with other believers and other Christians. It's great to be saved. It's great to be born again, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer. There's none like unto him. If I had a question to ask you this morning, it would be, is your heart troubled? Is there anyone in here this morning with a troubled heart? You know, you could have a heart this morning that's troubled with worry, with fear, with things of this world. There's many a thing that can trouble your heart. And I researched about the heart, and it says that it's mentioned over 50 times in the Bible about your heart. And if God mentions something that amount of times, it's important. It's important to mention. And at some point in someone's life, your heart's going to be troubled. And it could be troubled just with Christmas coming up, maybe thinking about Christmas presents, money to buy, but more importantly, soul salvation. Somebody's maybe dying, somebody maybe needs a touch from the Lord, so somebody's heart's troubled. And you know, whenever God mentions it over 50 times, that's an important thing. And it also tells me that you're important. Whenever God would mention that many times, God cares. He loves you. He cares. He gave his life for you. And if Matthew, if you could put up John 14 and verse 1, It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And that's what I'd like to say this morning. Put your trust in the Lord. Have faith. Have faith in God. Believe him, because he's the way maker. And it's easy to have a troubled heart, but God doesn't want your heart to be troubled. He wants you to put your trust in him. You know, if I can give a few testimonies, I'll try to. I worked with a man one time, and he used to come down and ask me, how do you get saved? And I used to quote him from the Bible and say, tell him that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this went on and on and on for ages. And I sort of had give up on the fella. He says, this fella's never going to come to the Lord. He's asking all these questions, but he seemed sincere. He was a nice fella, but he was caught up with drink, with gambling, but still a nice fella. But these things had got a grip on him when he was young. So it's very important with children who they fellowship with. Fellowship's a big thing. And you can see it in school life and school kids. If they get in with the wrong crowd of people, everything can go the wrong road. But if you can keep them at something that you can get involved with them, keep them, that you're with them, that they're with the right type of people, they're with all their believers, all their Christian believers, it makes a big, big difference. But this fella, he kept asking these questions about being saved. He seen nothing else, only drink, gambling. And his whole house was like that, and his sister got saved, and his sister got married, and then he started the questions again, and then his sister's husband, he was a Roman Catholic, and he got saved. It was just powerful, the things that God was doing in that whole house. And then his sister and her husband couldn't have any children. They went to a Pentecostal meeting. They got the pastor to pray for them, anoint them with oil, and now they have three big boys. God has blessed them and answered their prayers. And his dad would have been a man that had to get a carry out every night, drank. God saved him, delivered him and his mom. And then he came in one morning and he says to me, something to tell you. Big smile on his face. I can still see him. He says, I could see him last night. And I says, that's great. I'm very glad to hear it. And the Lord spoke to me and he says, you give up on that man. He says, never give up. Never you give up on anybody. Keep praying. Keep praying for them. Because he says, you're not doing the same as I am. And it's the same this morning. If you have someone and they're dying, they need a healing, they need a touch from the Lord, don't ever give up on them. Keep praying, because you're not doing the healing. God is. He's the one that can heal. He's the Savior. He's the healer. And you know, even lately, with Michelle's dad, he had a condition called COPD, where he could hardly breathe. And maybe just a lot of months back, he was, before he maybe got oxygen all the time, he was saying to me about his awful struggle to try and get to sleep at night. He had to sit up because he couldn't get a breath. Sorry. And he says to him, you know, I seen the door open, and if you ever get the door open, always say something for God. And the door was open there when he said that. And he says to him, you know, Noel, that'd be an awful thing. Not being able to get a breath, I'm sure it's an awful feeling. And he says, it is. It's scary. And he says to him, you know, there's only one thing important. And that's that you are ready. If anything happens to you, you need to be ready to go. Because, you know, someday you'll be meeting your maker. And that's the important things. And he says, I'm not saying not to be smart, but just because we love you. He said thank you, and then he had to get oxygen, and he was nearly on it all the time. And then I was sort of praying to God that I'd get speaking more to him. And then he took bad one weekend, and then the doctors and the like a care team come out, and they said they had to put him onto this drip for different things, and then took blood tests, and then he got word back that night at about 9:30 that there was two things that he needed. The blood showed up that he was low on two different things. He can't remember what they were. But so then they were sending an ambulance out for him to take him to the hospital to get this. Then whenever everything had settled, I went up to see him again. And I just prayed that the Lord would help me. Same thing again. As I come into the room, tell him, and I says to him, "Well, Noel, how are you?" And he says, "Up and better." I says, "I'm sure you weren't expecting to have to go into the hospital, because he hated hospitals. He hated going near them." And he says, "No, I wasn't expecting that." And I says to him, "Well, Noel, you know, we're all worried about you. We all care about you." And I says again, tell him, "You know, your soul salvation is the most important thing. You need to be ready here if anything happens to you. You need to be right with God." And I can't remember everything that I said to him word for word. But I says to him, "If you want to ask any more questions or any other things, don't be afraid to ask." And he said, "No, thank you." But while I was saying all this to him, I could see his eyes filled up with water. I says, "Either that man's under conviction here, or I'm making him cross, one or the other." But he said thank you, and I went down the stairs, he went into the hospital, and the ambulance come out, helped him get him into the ambulance, and then we went to visit him the next day, and we were down that next night, and he says, we were all talking, and then just out of the blue, he says, "Oh, John, by the way," he says, "I want to thank you," he says, "for the chat you had with me last night." He says, "I took your advice." And he says, "I've got such a peace." He says, "I can't describe the peace that I've got." And normally, everybody could see the difference in the man. And the peace that he had, even in the hospital, because he was one that wouldn't have stayed in it. He would have been looking out of it. And it was encouraging to hear him, you know, being very thankful and confessing that he had got this peace. I can remember whenever I started going with Michelle and I had got saved, and he came out and he says to me, "I hear you're saved, you've become a Christian." He says, "You're doing the right thing." And I always thought to myself then, this man knows that he needs to be saved, you know, from that time. But his mother was a godly woman. His sister was saved. His brother saved. And I was saying to his brother about the testimony and the account that I had with him. And he said that he found it hard for to say anything to his own family. And I said, "So I know what it's like. It's not an easy thing to talk to your own. Your own family seems to be the hardest family to talk to." And then I get emotional, and I'm probably the worst person to speak to anybody, but I like to do it anyway, because I know the devil will not encourage you to do it. It's God's Holy Spirit that'll encourage you to do it, no matter where you're crying or where you're not. It's important. It was just such a blessing. And I'd said to his brother, and his brother, he said to me, "You know, our dad died. He must have been up the town somewhere, and he died. And him and the minister, I don't know where it was, Scarborough Street or where they were, what the minister there had went down to see his sister. She was training to be a nurse, and she was staying somewhere down in Belfast. They went down to her because they knew she was taking bad. And he said that whenever we opened the door and called the woman Eileen, she said, "Eileen, daddy's passed away." And he said she went into complete hysterics, and she was saying, Daddy's not saved. Daddy's not saved. No, she took it bad. The next day, the undertaker then must have got whatever money and whatever things he had in his pockets, and they gave the whatever the possessions were to the family. He had a gospel tract in his pocket, and I'd like Jordy to hear this bit. The bit on it where it says, by giving your life to the Lord, he signed his name beside it. He carried it. And she said she took that, and that was great comfort to her. But it's so important, these things, that you can actually talk about. It's great to be able to talk about salvation to your family, and it's important. You know, these are important things that you're ready to go. That you have that blessed assurance. There's nothing like that there, that peace. I know I'm emotional here, but whenever it used to annoy me, this here, you know, and I don't like coming up here because I get emotional. But God spoke to me, and he says a strong eagle cries daily. So even though you might look weak, you're strong with him, you know. But it's not a nice thing to stand here in tears, but may God bless you anyhow. But I'll just take another minute. There was another time whenever Noel was bad with his lung, it kept filling up with fluid. That's maybe 20 or 30 years ago, it's a long time ago. This fluid kept filling up and filling up. And he said to me in the quiet, because he's sort of a man, wouldn't want his own family worrying. And he says, I have to go into the hospital here, and they're going to, they took x-rays, and it was all black. He took me some x-ray of being black, and he says, the doctor says it's not good looking. You know, it must have been like a cancer thing. And then they were draining this fluid off a few times, and it was maybe like a liter or a liter and a half. It was a lot of stuff. It sounded like an awful lot of stuff that was coming off it. And then they were taking him in for the take a piece off it and check it and test it and different things. But he had to come out with this thing and a tube in him after whatever all they had done to him. But at that time we had just got the MP3s of William Branham on the like a DVD thing or MP3 player. I don't know what the right name of them was. But there was a boy who worked with me. Somebody in Michelle's work had gave her a computer at the time. That's the only thing we had that would play them. And this boy that I worked with, he came down to the house and he showed us how to put them in and what buttons and all to hit. At that time, nobody knew nothing about computers. They played on it. And they're such a blessing. They see for to listen to the like of William Branham on any sort of a thing, just him himself now, not some other man talking about him, but him. It does something to you. It's the word of the Lord. You know, he'll speak the word of the Lord, and it does you good, and it'll build faith in you like you've never had before. I remember listening to him, and there was a testimony where he was at a meeting, and this father was in the meeting, and his son was in hospital dying, and there was something wrong with him that he had to have a tube in him here to breathe, and he says he pleaded with William Brown to come to the hospital to pray for his son. And he went to the hospital with him, and he says God never gave him any vision or any word, and normally he would have, but he says he didn't give him any for this child. And he says the child was, as soon as he went into the room, the child was all agitated. And he says the father of the child spoke, and he says once the father spoke, the child knew his voice. And that's a godly thing too. We know the voice of the Good Shepherd. We know whenever his voice speaks. But I thought that was even mighty itself. But he says once the father spoke, he says the child settled. He says that the child maybe only had a day or two to live. It was that bad. And he says God never showed him anything or any visions. And he says he just laid his hands on him. And he said he pleaded the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ between him and that cancer or that devil or whatever that was on him. And he said in 3 days' time, that child was well again. It was not some miracle, some word of God. Just whenever I had heard that in that DVD, I thought of what Noel had told me about going into the hospital. And I prayed a similar prayer, pleaded the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ between him. And everything came back clear then. And that's 20 or 30 years ago. So that's encouraging too. But I would say to listen to them DVDs or whatever you call them, they're good. There's food there. But if you listen to some other man talking about William Branham all night, that'll do the opposite. That's not good for you. But to actually listen to the servant of God himself, it'll do you the word of good, and it'll build faith in you like you've never had before. It'll build faith in you to believe for a miracle. That's what it'll do. And the same here with these meetings here. Outside of these here meetings, that's what you want to be listening to. Nothing else. Everything else is a waste of time. It's not going to give you something that will raise somebody from the dead. But that's all I really want to say. But also, maybe if I need these glasses, they're upside down. Odd job when you can't see nothing. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Whenever they brought Noel home, I'm like, Brian Freeborn, I have to look out over the top of them where I can't see him. Whenever they brought Noel home to wake him, they put him up into his room, and there was a verse above the coffin, and this is what it was here. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And there's another verse of good below it. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. But whenever he spoke of that peace, and then whenever the undertaker brought him home and put him right there with that verse, that done me the world of good. So it was good. But maybe it was all over the place, that testimony. I'll just read this here in closing. It's, let not your heart be troubled. So don't let your heart be troubled. Believe, have confidence in God. Trust in him. Have faith. Believe in his word. In Jesus Christ you have peace, refuge, and certain victory. Bring your burdens to the Redeemer, to your Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He heals the brokenhearted. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There's another thing here the Lord spoke to me. The Lord hears us when we pray. We don't pray for years and for him not to answer. Don't give up. Never give up. If you have loved ones and you're praying for them and they're not yet saved, don't go looking with these here. Look, they're taking drink, they're smoking. Maybe the day they're on drugs. Don't look at that there. That's what we see. God looks on the heart, and it's all different. Never give up, no matter what it looks like. He's the one that's in control. He is the good shepherd. I come to you when I am weary, and you will give me rest. When the storms of life are raging, your presence will calm the rough waters, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation. You are the rock of ages, my strong tower and fortress. Your strength renews me. And that's me finished. God bless you, and sorry for being emotional.
Share a couple of small testimonies that's happened in my life. Just continuing on what you were saying there at the end about answered prayer. I want to start with saying my life story is one that's been mostly about patience and having to persevere through different things. When I was younger, I don't really recall because I can't remember because I was only a year old, but my mum knows best. I suffered several years with eczema or eczema, whatever you want to call it. And I can recall maybe being up to eight years old, I had it. I can remember it being on my legs. It used to be on the inside of my elbows here. And but my mum said when I was a year old, or maybe two, I was actually hospitalized. I was wrapped up like a mummy. I was bandaged all over my body. It was pretty much everywhere apart from my face. But it cleared away, but it stayed on my legs and parts of my arms. And I recall praying about it when I was a child, asked the Lord to heal me of it. And years went by. And one morning, I didn't know when it happened, but I woke up one morning, could have been weeks went by before I realized that actually my skin was clear. My legs were completely smooth. I think I was maybe 9 years old at the time, maybe 10. And I remember waking up in the morning, getting ready for school, and I was like, "Mom, Mom!" I was yelling through to her. I was so excited. I was like, look, I've been healed. And my mom and dad both came through and they took a look. And yeah, I've never had it since. Before that also, I had a wart that was on my index finger here for several years. Doctors used to try creams and different things to try and get the wart to remove. And I remember praying about it. My mum, even my dad, they prayed over me. And again, I'm not really sure what age I was, but I know I had it maybe 3-4 years, possibly that. And I remember one day it was just gone. Don't know where it went. I kind of couldn't explain it, but I know I'd been healed of it. And I remember Pastor Ron, he had said to my mum that what it was, it took a little bit of faith to get the wart healed. Took a little bit more faith to have the eczema healed. And he said, it'll just take Matthew a little bit more faith to be healed of his asthma. And honest truth here, I believe that I am healed of my asthma. There's times, maybe if I catch a bad cold, the doctor will prescribe some medication and stuff. But before I moved over from Scotland, I used to be on 2 steroids a day. The doctors cut that out as soon as I came over here, but my asthma, when I went for an asthma review maybe 6-7 years ago, it was fully under control, they said. They gave me a test and I had to score different things. I think the score was out of 24 and I scored 21. But I've never had major issues with my asthma anymore. There's times maybe if I catch a cold I do feel breathless, but I just chalk that up to everyone gets breathless whenever I have a cold. But it was astounding to me how, for myself anyway, personally, that prayer sometimes doesn't work instantly. It can be a process of time. And almost for some of us, maybe it's a test to see. And for myself, I've tried to think of it as an adult, how it happened when I was so younger. As I got older, I've found some things can be a little bit more of a hindrance as you try to think things out. Whereas when I was a child, I used to just pray about things and this seemed to maybe happen one day just like that. And just one last thing I want to speak about that is, when I was younger, we have our sports day during summer in schools. I was never really great at sports, but I wanted to win. The asthma did hinder me that way. I couldn't run the 100 meters. I could maybe get halfway before I needed to take the inhaler and I would slow down. But I remember praying in my room one time, I was maybe 7, 8, and I was saying to the Lord, I want to win a race, I want to win something. I think it was primary 5 I was in. I won 3rd place in what was the 3-legged race. But But I was full of pride back then, and I was stubborn, and I didn't like that I got third place. But with the way it worked, I went back, and I remember saying to the Lord, I was like, that's not what I wanted, because I was wanting the big prize that you got at the end. And the big prize was if you accumulated enough points through the races. Like, I think if first place got 5 points, second place got three points, and third place got 1 point. But there was multiple races, and the highest points won the big prize, and that's what I wanted. But it never happened. I went through every sports day for all 7 years, never won anything. And then I think it's 2016, 2017, because I remember specifically saying in my prayer, I said, I want to win a medal. And then I think I was 22 at the time, so it's 10 years ago now. I went go-karting with Cardell to the Newry Formula One go-karting. And they did a whole makeshift thing. When you race, they give out an actual medal. And I won a bronze. And I got on the podium, and my photo was taken, because they do all that thing for you. And when I got home, I just never thought anything of it. Like, we're talking maybe 13 years later after I said that prayer in my room. My mom gives the kiss to me. Well, Matthew, there's prayer answered. And it just struck me. I remember the prayer I said as a child, and I was like, that is prayer answered. And I've been back go-karting multiple times, and I was thinking to myself, but it was funny enough, because the devil came in immediately after my mom said that, and I was like, yeah, that's true. And then it was like, do you ask for a gold, not a bronze? And several years later, I actually, I think I was maybe 25, I won a gold in go-karting. But what I'm trying to say with my testimony here is prayer is answered. Even if you're maybe not how you think it will come. Maybe it's baby steps. And it seemed like that for me. Maybe it's a lesson in life that you have to learn sometimes. And God knows I've learned some hard lessons. But it was just astounding to me how I can look back at my life and different things. This is just small testimonies, but I can truly say that the Lord has answered prayer for me. And that no matter how many years go by, even a small prayer that you say, if you were 4 or 5 years old at the time, the Lord has heard it and He can answer it. And this is my testimony that I want to share with you. Thank you.
Done this in a very long time, and I pray God gives me the strength. Right. Firstly, I just want to thank God for my family. So I want to thank God for giving us the opportunity to come this side. And all right, I'm just saying. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord that He led thee. let thee, I am the Lord that he led thee in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? And you are the Lord that heals all disease, and you are the Lord that heals all disease, and you are the Lord that heals all disease, and in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust in thee, O my Lord? Do I put my trust?
All not really good. I'm not going to preach this morning. I said to Brother Gary, if there's enough testimonies, I won't be preaching. But I've been blessed. Many's been blessed this morning, I tell you. John said to me the other week, we should do this. And I said to John, I was thinking that myself. And he says, were you? And I said, I was, honestly, thinking that we should have testimonies. And I've been really, really blessed this morning with the testimonies. Sister Erling's testimony, with everybody's testimony, Brother John's testimony, and the brother and sister's testimonies, everyone's testimony has been a real, real blessing. Because, you know, you're in the meeting and you sometimes think nothing's ever happening. And God can be working behind the scenes on people and you don't know what's happening. And everybody's different. Maybe some people's a bit shy and nervous and quiet, but God can use anybody. And I just thank the Lord this morning
for what the Lord's done in each and every life. And that's, you know, what John said, so, so true. Salvation is a most important thing. You can fall out over doctrines and all them things, and it's good to have the right doctrine, but the most important thing is salvation. And never giving up. It's so true. Never giving up. And the brothers, myself, I want to see saved. Children, I want to see saved. And sometimes it can look completely the wrong road. But they're not going to come. But thank God they're going to come. And just appreciate everyone this morning. Praise God. Now, I want Isaac to come. And I have something I want to give out this morning. And each year we give our widows all a gift at this time of year, just to appreciate them. And because it's scripture, the Bible says, want you to look after the widows. So we just want to give the different widows a gift. And I know there's some not here this morning. And we'll give it to them when they come. But maybe Isaac would hand this out for me. And want you to know, each widow, that we appreciate you. We're praying for you. I want to bless you this morning from the fellowship. It's just a small gift, but we just trust it'll help in some way. And may the Lord bless you and encourage you. And don't forget, on the 13th, I've got the date right this morning, we're doing a big party here for my mum, and everyone's invited. And I want you to come along and bring a cake or something with you. Gary's going to come up here in a minute. We're going to sing a few songs before we go. And the times actually went on nicely, Sister Gar. And the two here, Sister Jenny and our brother Laurie. And we'll give them out if they come tonight. And if not, we'll go and visit them and give them. But they'll get them. We'll give these back to Mark at the end. But the Lord bless each one this morning. Isn't that good? He encouraged. Between the rejoicing and I was crying a bit as well. And Sister Eiling's testimony really touched me. I'll tell you what, her mom, when that wee sister come home, I'll tell you, that must have been something, I'll tell you. That must have been really something, mustn't it? And keep praying for wee George. George, you know, he told in his testimony, the man was rejected and gave away as a wee fella. And it's come back on him a bit. And he's, you know, it's the enemy's tried to get in on him. But you pray for George, that God will really move on George at the minute, and Winifred as well. And me and Gary got to see them last night and talk with them and pray with them. And we just believe the Lord's done something. It's great, you know, and just thank the Lord for everything. And I would love to be able to visit around a bit more, but with work and everything, it's hard to do it. But you pray for me, God will get me a bit more time, because I don't have enough time. Well, I'm working too much, and I know I'm. But I'm in a fix at the minute. But you pray God will get me out of it, and that he'd get me a different job, that I'll have more time for the things of God, because I'm willing. I am willing. That's the thing about it. And God, he's willing too. Praise God. But the Lord bless you. Brother Gary's going to come. Go to stand your feet. Get you loosened up a bit. Praise God. It's cold in here this morning, isn't it? It is cold. You see, the heating in here is not great. And then you turn the thing, you can't hear with it on. And then you turn it down and it's like a fridge. But it's a sort of a vicious circle. But the Lord bless you. Brother Gary's going to come. They'll come tonight. We'll be sharing the night in the high priest garments. We're still in the high priest garments. And someone had never, you know, you might have known this, but I'll give you this, but then I'm going to sit down. Gary's going to come. The colors: gold, blue, purple, scarlet. It's mentioned 26 times in Exodus. But I never knew this, that every time they're mentioned in the exact same order. They never mentioned in a different order. Now we'll get to that at some point. I'll leave you with that thought, but it's great, isn't it? God's good. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, man. Well, I feel like I was a bit cold myself. We should maybe do He That Believe Us, something to get us walking around or deep and wide to get us moving, get the exercise going, like Lord or Larry would do. But while I was sitting there, I was just thinking that I was blessed this morning myself. Tommy got up and he said, I'm blessed. And I was blessed myself, and I thought, well, maybe sing that chorus, I am blessed. Every day I live for Jesus, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed. He gives strength to me as I worship him, and my heart is filled with praise. Praise God. I'd like to thank everyone who shared their testimony this morning and contributed to the service. And, you know, it's really wonderful. Just what God does with individuals behind the scene. You know, you might think to yourself something. Everything happens at the front. No, it doesn't. Everything happens down there. It's in the individual life. And that's where the things happen, praise God. And it's good to share our testimony and encourage and bless others by doing it, praise God. Amen.
He gives strength. I'm
hour before we would close. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around.
Opportunity for someone to pray if you would like to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
close to us, Brother John, then if you'll close your prayer for us.
All is well.